So today we're talking about sales phobia, which is one of our most requested topics. And we're pretty excited about this one, and we hope that it goes well because we have had some minor issues. I think that may be prophetic of the topic, but go ahead and answer the poll. You know, what's the scariest part of sales for you? We'd like to know what that is because we'll be talking about that later in the session. But I wanted to introduce the very best salesperson I have ever met, and that is Mark Leeper. And Mark, we actually met about a year ago when we needed some help with sales for ABCI. And Mark has owned or managed sales for startup companies as well as established firms. Mark was the CEO of Advanced Laser Technology, a practice management company specializing in the development of medical laser clinics. Under his supervision and the implementation of a comprehensive business plan, Laser Technologies expanded to 8 clinics throughout Washington, California, Nevada, and Arizona. Mark attended Pacific Lutheran University and studied business administration. With over 25 years of sales and management experience, Mark graduated from the Zig Ziglar Performance Training Institute. We love Zig Ziglar. And is a certified trainer and facilitator. Mark resides in Gig Harbor, Washington with his wife, Carolyn, and 16-year-old Jeff?
That's right.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
And Mark has grown up with the aviation bug. His father-in-law was a World War II P-51 ace, and his father, John Leeper, is a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel fighter pilot. Mark's a licensed pilot since 1980 with IFR and commercial rating. So we're really happy to have you here, Mark.
Well, thank you. It's thanks for being so kind, and thanks for the invitation. I really appreciate it. It's a real pleasure to be teamed up with ABCI. It's a privilege to have such a great quality lead source machine that's out there available to us all to use to help bring qualified customers to us, so that we can continue to practice the art of selling. It's really a privilege to be associated with both John and Paula.
Great. Well, it has been a great partnership because I think we've got both ends covered. You know, once you generate leads, you need to do something with them and make those sales. So tell us about this airplane.
This airplane here, did you say?
Yeah.
Well, it's an F-86 Sabre, and it's always been one of my favorite airplanes. My father flew the back half of his career for the California Air National Guard in Fresno, and so I was a real young guy when I got to actually ride in one of these things. I got to snuck into one for a ride, and also a T-33 once. So they've always been real close to my heart, and I just really like the airplane myself.
You know, right. Yeah. Well, I know I asked you what was your dream airplane when we were doing these animations, and that was the one that you selected, but I never really found out why. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I got to go out and stand alert with my dad.
Yeah.
You know, in the evenings, they'd have an alert den out there, and so I got to go out and spend the night with the fighter pilots as a real young kid.
So, right.
Exactly. A good way to get the aviation bug, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Right. Now, one of the things that we found out the hard way, you know, we had thought that we could do just marketing and be fine. But what we found out is that in aviation, as well as many other fields, being a good salesperson is still very necessary. And Mark,
I want to start out by about kicking this year off. We're a month late, of course, getting to this, but it's still a beginning of the year as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. And the topic is sales phobia. And so I'd like to make a suggestion to everybody to adopt a certain attitude here. We're going to talk about attitudes, but the first thing I'd like to do is have everybody start with a clean slate about their preconceptions of sales and the sales process to wipe out your previous success. successes and failures and just kind of step over a line and let's examine, you know, what sales are really about and the importance it plays in business. And success can be measured in a lot of different ways. So if everybody can kind of just start out with a clean piece of paper in their mind and we can move on from there. But, you know, beginning, we're all great salespeople. I think one of the things I bump into occasionally, because I do recruiting for some different entities, and we're always looking for, you know, good business building people. And you'll ask people sometime or show people a certain opportunity, and a lot of the responses you'll get back is that, well, I don't like sales, or I'm not a very good salesperson. I think it's a very common response, and I just like to suggest to everybody that, you know, if you've got a significant other, if you've ever been accepted to a college or a university, if you've ever been on a professional or a sports team of any type, if your dog likes you, all of these things that, you know, you might look at, it requires the ability to influence someone or something, and you are a salesperson whether you know it or not. If you've ever gotten a job, and I'm sure we're talking to a group of people who've had a lot of successes here in their life, you have been in the sales business since you were born, and so we're all there. A lot of us do formal sales more out of necessity than they do, you know, desire. But we're all in the sales business of influencing people. So let's start out with changing that attitude right now about sales. Nothing happens in business until somebody sells something. There's a million products or more laying around in garages and ideas in people's heads that never make it to market. And it's because, you know, nobody started the sales process. So it's probably the most important thing that we can do in business. Most business functions take place, whether it's accounting or shipping or service or whatever, that's a byproduct of the sales process. And
exactly.
So let's start out by, in our minds, realizing the importance of it, and not that you have to be the best salesperson, but recognize the absolute importance of a good sales process. It's got to be professional, and it's got to be a primary focus in business.
Right. I think a lot of people come to sales with a bunch of baggage and even resentment that they don't even realize they have. And that comes from, you know, maybe listening to our parents talk about, you know, they hang up the phone and say, oh, it was just a salesperson. Or, you know, they talk about having been buttonholed at a social gathering by somebody who is a salesperson. You know, so bad behavior on the part of salespeople, I think, has given us all a lot of baggage. And, you know, we just started the flight instructor sales training course, which is an online course. And talking with flight instructors, almost to a person, they all say, well, I'm really not interested in sales. I only do it so that I can fly. But every once in a while, you run across somebody who gets good at it. And, you know, that's the kind of person that can write their own ticket. I mean, they can open their own flight school. They can do a lot more flying because they have a lot more students. You know, so just the ability to adjust your attitude about it, I think, really makes a big difference. So, yeah, that blank slate is harder than it sounds. At least for me, you know, it took me a while to get over some of my preconceived notions. And Mark, I think you probably were really instrumental in making that happen.
Yeah, you're a great salesperson.
I am now. I wasn't a year ago.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, this denial, it can relate to a couple different things here on this slide. There's certain businesses. There's two types of sales people probably on the call here. There's people that choose it as a profession, and then there's people that have to commit themselves to success in sales because it keeps their business going, or a combination of both. But as we discuss things today, I want people to come to a point in their mind that they make a decision that they're going to succeed at sales, or make a decision that they're going to hire a sales and marketing support system to get it done, because there's no in between with that.
Right.
You can't be riding in the airplane and look up to the cockpit and find that there's no pilot or co-pilot up there. And that's what a lot of businesses do. They're trying to get to A to B in their business success, and they're on the sales plane, but there's nobody flying it. And that can't be the case. You've got to be up there flying the airplane, or you've got to have a professional up there doing it for you, or you're going to crash.
Right.
And so just don't get stuck in the denial stage. It is difficult to do the full circle of business, in that it's tough to do the business development, the marketing, the fulfillment, the service, the accounting, all those type of things. And your business that you're in now, you know better than anybody else the intricacies of it. But never discount the sales process, because it tends to take a back seat. But yeah, there's two types of salespeople. There's professional salespeople and there's accidental salespeople. We're all accidental salespeople. Some of us choose the profession. We're talking about sales phobia right now, and so that's why I'd like everybody to reset their minds about sales. We've already talked about the importance of it, and we'll talk about some of the things that people are nervous about, or the phobias that people have about sales here in our upcoming slides. But, kind of decide which category you fall into. The three A's of our discussion. And in the type of sales training that I prefer to do, I like to give people tools that you can hang the phone up today with and start and have results tonight, by tonight. I don't like long, drawn-out sales processes with homework and those type of things. Those type of classes are good over the long run, but kicking it up at the beginning of the year, I want to give people a few tools that you can hang the phone up today and be selling by tomorrow, okay? So, the three things that I think are the most important or process in improving your sales is, find the attitude you need. And that attitude has got to be backed up with a need and a desire and a why in your life. Okay, why am I selling something? Okay? Well, you've got a lot of big reasons in your life. I come home at night and knock on the door, and I walk in and I've got a wife and a child and a dog and people to feed. I mean, there's a big why right there. If I just sell enough to feed people, that's great. But I've got a bigger why than that. I'm trying to save for retirement. I'm trying to maybe get back to Scottsdale and own a house and own a pool again. I'm just discussing some of the wants, needs, and desires that I've got. I'd like to own an airplane again. Come up with a big why in your life, so that when you're faced with the process of sales that isn't easy, isn't fun, you can get discouraged. I need people to immediately reference to the big why in their life. Attach success to the sales process and focus on that. Don't focus on what can be frustrating and scary, okay?
Right.
And the next aspect of this, to get you up to speed real quick, you have certain assets currently today, and I can't remember the general that says when you go to war, you go to war with the equipment, the army, the machinery, and the knowledge you've got today. You don't have a chance to decide, well, I'm going to go to war next year, because war never comes when you want it to. When you've got to go to war, you've got to go to war with what you've got today. So we all have certain assets that we have, okay? And then, so we're going to take, you need to take a stock of what those are, whether it's the amount of training you have or don't have, the amount of leads that you do or don't have. Come up with all of the things that you have in your arrows in your quiver, so to speak, that you can start today by using to generate sales. And then the next part of generating sales immediately is you've got to know your numbers, you've got to know what you need to accomplish, and you've got to write down and have somebody with you hold yourself accountable for hitting those numbers and making the number of sales calls, the number of sales presentations, the prospecting you've got to do. So attitude, assets, and accountability is our topics.
And we've got three myths to go kind of along with those three A's. And I think, the marketing industry is guilty of exaggerating some of their abilities. A lot of those things, a lot of people will say, if I have a great product, it will sell itself. And in fact, we've talked to car salesmen who said, this car will sell itself. And you're like, well, what the heck are you doing here? Why don't you on a beach somewhere? But yeah, and technology sells products. Technology gets you in touch with the right people. You can do a lot of work with targeting folks, targeting the right leads. You can do lead generation using social media and other kinds of things. You can use a website to generate leads, but it's usually not successful to sell something online unless it's like a 99-cent music download or something that's really low risk and really low cost. But, if we're in the aviation industry or any other where the cost of the product is a little bit more than that, it usually takes interaction with a human being, to build that relationship and build trust to the point where you can make a sale.
Yeah, that's correct. We've got a lot of different ways, new ways, high technology ways now to produce raw materials to sell to. And the raw materials to sell to are people. You've got to have eyeballs to look at your presentation. You've got to have people to feel and experience and get excited about the product that you have. And it still requires a personal relationship to help people see the benefits of your product. And so I think the biggest downfall of all of the new ways to make the phone ring is the people's impression that, or business's impression that that's all we need. We just need somebody to silently look at our product and they're going to click on the buy now button. And again, just like you said, Paula, if you're buying a song on iTunes, that might happen. But if you're selling anything that a customer has to decide whether he's going to take the Visa card out and really make it happen, and I think I was looking at a good percentage of people's concerns in sales here is money negotiations. It looked like 20% of the people. There's competition for every product. I don't care how good it is. And you've got to be able to answer people's concerns and satisfy their problems and ask them for their money. And it requires a salesperson to do that. Electronically, technology-wise, that won't happen.
Right.
Exactly.
And the way we work together often, between ABCI and Leaper and Associates, is ABCI will bring the leads in the door and, start warming up those relationships with newsletters and media contacts and things like that, but it really takes a human being reaching out on the phone or in person to make those sales, especially for the large ticket items. So. Okay, that was too many clicks.
Yeah, well, this basically just relates back to the last slide. It requires people to build relationships with other people, and so just a little bit of sales training here. Not knowing what the next slide is or the next couple slides here, I want to land on something here. People are busy, and the fact that people are so busy these days, it requires us as salespeople to slow people down and get them in a position that we can start building relationships with people. Sales phobia a lot of times is based on the fact that you're worried about failing. And I'd like everybody to start thinking about remaking their expectations of a sales call. And those expectations that a lot of people say is success, is actually getting the credit card number given to them and making the sale. So I'd like to ask everybody at the beginning of the year here to start changing their benchmark of success. And if we change it to building relationships and starting to build friendships with people and our customers and learning what we can do as individuals to help other individuals, we're going to start building the relationships, which will turn into sales over the next 11 months to finish up the year. And a lot of it is based on impatience. We always have worries about cash flow at our home, at our business, and it's easy to let those personal impatient moments get in the way of building relationships with people. And so start thinking about changing what you think is a success of a sale into let's start making friends with some people and start showing them that we care about them, we want to hear what their problems are, and we're going to solve their problems with our products and services. So if you change your benchmark, I think you're going to find that sales isn't so scary because everybody wants friends and everybody's looking for people that can help them.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of where it comes from. You know, all that resentment of salespeople and that resentment of having to sell is the feeling that if I'm going to sell, I need to be manipulative or I need to be dishonest or I need to exaggerate. And I think that's exactly the opposite of reality. And Mark, I think you are probably the best example of that because you called and sold me something and you didn't sound like a salesperson at all. You know, you sounded like somebody who wanted to help me with a business problem.
Well, and thank you, yeah. This slide here of the guy screaming into the phone, it can go both ways. It could be a customer that's been bulldozed over, or this is the guy that his car payment's due tomorrow and he's got to make a sale today.
Yeah.
And so it could go either way here. But yeah, bad behavior is not required for the sales process. A little bit, we are like actors a little bit. You know, you've got to be able to put your world behind you just a little bit when you're talking to customers, be able to relate to them without having the pressures of what's going on in your life cash flow-wise interfere with your reasoning, your judgment, and dealing with people. So just keep in mind our primary mission here is to call and find people that we can build relationships with and make friends out of. A lot of the times, again, if somebody doesn't buy our product today, we look at it as failure. Well, you flip it around because if you handle people correctly, it's so much easier to get referrals. It's so much easier to ask for their business down the road. And so just build relationships with people.
Right. Okay. Some other phobias that are connected to sales, and, you know, we've talked about some of these. Of course, there's fear of rejection, fear of strangers, fear of speaking in public, fear of traveling, fear of being unprepared. You know, all of those things go into being a really successful salesperson. So you kind of have to, if you really have a problem with any of those things, then you probably ought to see a counselor, see a professional. But, you know, for the most part, it's just a matter of finding a strong enough why to get through those different fears. You know, realize that fear is, I think there's an acronym for that, false expectations appearing real.
Yeah, that's correct. And all of those things you named, Paula, you know, if you sit down at your desk and you've got a list of people you need to call, mm-hmm. and you don't call them, you need to start itemizing, you know, 1, 2, and 3. Why didn't I pick the phone up and call? Why didn't I dial?
Yeah.
And so the first thing, we go back to the why. Why do we need to call in the first place? Well, you know, the bare minimum is to keep your job or your company alive. And then you go down to the other wants, needs, and desires that you've got, that list of whys. And the bigger why you got it, the better. I mean, pick something out there that is extraordinary that elevates your excitement to the point where it helps you overcome these fears, okay? Mm-hmm. You might say, okay, what's the number one fear I have? Well, probably for a lot of people, it's failure. I don't know a lot of people in training that are actually scared to take a no. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's more, they more relate the no to personal failure.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of good books out there to read, but and I'll come up with a couple here to put out. But really, if you're focused on the fact that you've got to sell something today or you're a failure, that's not the right thing to link up.
You
just don't look at no's as anything besides normal, and you go to the guy that's swinging the baseball bat professionally. Okay, he's got to strike out a lot of times. He's got to only hit, you know, one out of three or one out of four baseballs to make, you know, many millions of dollars a year. And so you're going to fail two-thirds of the time, but you don't focus on them. Yeah,
right,
you just don't
focus. Think you know, the other side of that is if your fear of not doing it is bigger than your fear of doing it, you know, your fear of having to bring your kid home from college because he can't afford his tuition this month, or your fear of not making a house payment, or your fear of whatever is bigger than the fear of getting on the phone, you know, then that's kind of it can be a motivator the other way too. So it just depends on which way you focus that emotion. It's not necessarily bad, it's just the way you use it.
Right.
So now we know what it is. Let's figure out what to do about it. We have thoroughly defined the problem.
Well, don't try this at home. Everybody needs a coach. Let's start out with some coaching. Find out, you know, what your weakest points are and then attack them with training. And there's so many sources of training these days. You can Google anything and come up with great free resources to become an expert by this Sunday, at least knowledge-wise, on how to do better at the things that you think you're weak at. And so seek professional help. I don't care how good you are at anything, whether you're a golfer or a pro quarterback or a pilot, a professional pilot. Everybody needs professional training and professional check rides along the way to make sure that you're doing everything correctly. And so don't take it all so personally. Go out and find somebody that can be a mentor. Find somebody that can give you some training. And there's just a ton of resources out there that you can go after to eliminate that short list of things that's keeping you from picking the phone up or making those presentations.
Right.
Yeah, that training is actually a very good idea. I sold cars for a major automotive company once, and we had sales training every day that we showed up for at least 1 hour. Every day. And the point was that no matter who you were, there were one or two guys there that were doing most of the training, but they were selling several hundred cars a month. And they had the magic touch, I thought. But when you get down and you listen to everything they had to say over the course of a month or two, then you start realizing that anybody can do it.
Yeah,
anybody
exactly.
can do it with the right attitude and skills, you know, with the 3 A's.
Exactly.
But you're right. Absolutely. One thing that I found, though, is that, you know, you've got all these free resources on the web, but you don't know which of them are any good, and you can't really trust those. The only thing that you really can trust is to find somebody who is really good at what you think would be a great style for you. You know, and that's why I found Mark, was because I wanted to have these low-key, you know, ethical, non-hypey, non-exaggerate-y, you know, none of those things to represent our company. Actually hand him the sales job because, you know, it was my feeling a year ago that a professional person could handle this a lot better than I could, which was absolutely true at the time. And that was one of the best decisions we've made for our company. So, free resources will only take you so far. At some point, don't try this at home. You don't want homemade results for a professional business. You want the best you can find. And sometimes you have to pay for that. And, you know, sometimes it's well worth it. So, right. And then solution two is if you're going to do it yourself.
Right. And, you know, change your mind. I mean, make a decision to improve on all of those, every one of the three A's. I mean, change your attitude, improve on your assets, and continue to hold yourself accountable. And this reminds me of Ziegler's, you know, check up from the neck up phrase. You know, everything that's good or bad happens because, you know, of everything shoulders and above. And if you can believe you can sell, you can sell. If you believe you can't sell, you're right there too. So just start working on your attitude about sales. You know, you're right about whatever you believe. It's going to happen. Your belief is going to dictate exactly your success in sales. So start beefing up the noodle on the top.
Right, exactly. That is absolutely right. And, you know, in some cases there will be stuff there that you didn't know was there. You know, I had no idea that I had such a negative attitude about sales until I started really thinking about it and thinking, you know, why am I avoiding this? Why am I doing everything else on my to-do list before I get around to making my sales calls? And I'm a pretty smart person. I always think this, you know, this psychology stuff is for other people. But, you know, I mean, it really is very true. And so, you know, getting some good input and good reading and doing some work on your own brain is really very much worth it. All right. Great sales presentations. We've got an interesting slide here, but I think a lot of people will rely on a sales presentation as a crutch, which is the bad part of it. But the good part of it is if you have a presentation that shows diagrams, that shows video of your product, that shows other things, you know, that's a great tool, but anything can go wrong at any time, as we've seen today. So you have to be able to have a great plan B and work around it. And, you know, if you've got it on video, also have it on paper, you know, whatever you can do to reduce that to the lowest common denominator to make sure you will always be able to communicate effectively with your folks. And the other side of that is when not to use the presentation. And, Mark, you've got a great example of that that happened to you just the other day.
Yeah, back to the presentation. Since we want a couple of tools to get going right away at the beginning of the year, sit down and base your presentation on questions that you can ask your potential customer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not salespeople because we can read to adults, and we're not salespeople so that we can just regurgitate a script.
Right.
So a sales presentation really should be renamed, sales interaction with people.
Mm-hmm.
You've got two ears and one mouth for a reason. And so what you're trying to do is get people to talk about their wants, needs, and desires. One of the key things that we can do with people is just to have a way to warm up quickly to people, and that's an abbreviation called FORM, Family, Occupation, Recreation, and Message. So you might write that down, FORM. And so talk about, ask about their family, ask about, you know, what they do with organizations and how they get into the business that they're in. Ask them about recreation, what they like to do in a roundabout way. And remember that the message follows. I had a sales manager that used to come in and help me sell when I was a young salesperson in a sales situation. And I would go ahead and launch and deliver my presentation. And if things weren't going in the way that I thought we were going to get a sales close, you go get your sales manager to help you. And this guy amazed me every time because he was a guy that could walk up to a table with people and talk about everything besides the product for 10 or 15 minutes, find common ground with people, never mention the fact that we wanted to sell them anything, why they should buy it, or anything like that. And by the time he got done making friends out of people and finding out he knew things they did, or, you know, they played golf together, he'd just find common ground with people. And so many times he'd just get to know them, and by the end of it, they'd say, yeah, we'd like to do business with you guys. And he'd never even go into the sales presentation. You know, so just keep in mind that your presentation's got to be based on questions and building relationships. One not to use a sales presentation, you know, it relates back to that. I had some people call me here 3 nights ago to tell me about a certain opportunity, and they had warned me that they were going to call, and I'd agreed to let them call, and I picked the phone up, and they launched into a 15 to 20 minute regurgitation of information. They were like a Gatling gun for 15 minutes. I didn't have 1 second to say anything, to say, well, slow down. I didn't understand that. They didn't talk to me one time about asking me about what I thought about something, or, you know, did I understand, or where I was with wanting to do certain things. I had a 15 to 20 minute, just, might as well have been a tape recording. And so just make sure that that never happens in your life, because that'll completely destroy your chances of selling something today and ever getting a hold of that person again.
Right. So what that person should have done is, when they got hold of you, they should have asked you about the topic and said, do you have an interest in this? And if so, you know, let's talk about that. Let's talk about why you have an interest in that. And then maybe gotten your permission to say, well, I've got about a 15-minute presentation to show you that will answer some of your questions. Do you have 15 minutes, and does that sound like it's something that would be interesting to you? And then if you had said yes, that would have reframed that whole conversation, right?
Yeah, exactly. And if anything else, they would have built a relationship with me a little bit, so that when they got to the end, they could have said, you know, does this sound of interest to you? And I would have said no. But I would have been in a I would have been in a position to say, you know, maybe I know somebody that does, if they would have asked correctly. But they never gave me a chance to ask like I, or act like I was being listened to. And that's most people's biggest desire. And which, don't let me forget to remind you again, everybody should pick up a copy of How to Win Friends and Influence People. And you should read it at least twice a year when you change the batteries in your smoke alarm detector. Pick up your copy of How to Win Friends and Influence People and reread that, because people's biggest desire in life is not the amount of cash that they receive. It's they want to feel wanted, and they want to feel listened to. And if you learn to get people talking about themselves and show interest in themselves, you're going to make sales. You know, it's just a fact.
Absolutely. So, yeah, you change your batteries, and you also change your the batteries in your head.
Yeah.
All right. So that's pretty much it for attitude. And then we're going to talk about assets, things that you can have, arrows in your quiver, as Mark said. And the first one is to get a sales coach. We did both. We got a professional sales guy who turned into a sales coach. This is something I wasn't expecting, but it turned out to be a great, great year for us.
Exactly. Find somebody that could be a mentor to you. You know, if you've got a sales manager, make sure you get to know him even better, and make sure that you open the book to him, you know, your sales process, you know, invite him into that sales process. A lot of times we hesitate to do that because, again, we don't want to see, you know, we want people seeing us fail. But if anybody that's worth their salt as a sales manager is going to be real interested in trying to correct any problems you've got with your swing, so to speak. And, again, we go back to baseball here, the picture of baseball. You know, the best players out there are real receptive to emulating people that are really great at it and finding people how to coach them. So obtain a sales coach as fast as you can. Okay?
Right.
That's one thing.
So what do you look for in a sales coach?
Well, never take advice from somebody that you don't want to be just like, first of all. you want to find somebody that you know that is successful in sales, obviously.
Yeah.
You want to find somebody that's currently, I would say, here's a big thing that I would always look for is that there's certain sales training that gets, they're so far removed from actually selling anything.
Right.
That, that I would be nervous to continue to take advice from them. I always start to feel a little bit out of place if I'm not physically selling something for a certain period of my year. If I'm just giving advice, that's a real easy thing to do. I don't like to coach anybody at something that I'm not actually doing myself. If you're going to be a great pilot, instructor pilot, okay, you've got to be a good pilot. If you're going to be a great golfer, you better also be out on the golf course golfing a lot and being in competition and keeping track of your score. I think a lot of sales coaches get so far removed from actually selling something, they forget the frustrations, the difficulties, the intricacies, and all of the new things going on. So if you're going to look for a sales coach, find a guy that's in the trenches with you. And, you know, they're knocking their head against the wall. They're going through the nose. They're having to adjust their technique and doing all the things that we have to do to be successful in sales. So find people that are selling something as they're coaching.
Right. You know, one thing that that we did that actually has helped a lot is we started selling something that is completely different from what we sell in our business. And that process, number one, it showed me a lot of things that I was doing wrong with my sales process with my business, because you almost get too close to yourself, if that makes any sense. So if you sell somebody else's product for a while as a part-time training exercise, number one, you might accidentally make some money, and number two, it really points out some of the technique things and gives you another point of view into the sales process. And I thought that was really helpful.
Yeah, exactly. So always keep your feet in the game, so to speak, and make sure the people that are coaching you, they still know how to sell. It's really easy to tell people how to do something. I like to take advice from people that are doing it, you know.
Right, exactly. And this next one is probably pretty obvious, but it's not. Some of us are introverts, and we spend way too much time behind a computer, and we don't spend enough time eyeball to eyeball with people.
Yeah, that's a real problem these days, because there's so many people in the business world right now that are hiding behind email, and they hide behind all of the social media. I can't tell you how many times I'll call somebody on the phone, and as I'm getting their answering machine, I'm seeing them on LinkedIn or on Facebook at that very second, you know, doing something that's not even remotely associated with business. Your people are so busy hiding behind those things that you're getting cocooned is what happened. You need to find a way to build relationships with people on a one-to-one basis, exactly, and that, you know, start by liking people.
And if you're go to conventions, go to networking events, go to the places where your prospects are and meet them in person.
Right. You're really going to set yourself apart. And I've had a good experience recently of selling some business-to-business products. And I've actually been out in the door of businesses, meeting owners of businesses, walking, you know, just like the old days, burning up shoe leather, opening the door, walking in, having to meet the receptionist, having to meet the office manager, you know, having to go find the doctor, the dentist, the whoever, and meet with those people. And I've had a very enlightening and positive experience, because that's not done very much anymore. People are so buried in the internet that they're almost shocked that somebody's in their office actually trying to meet them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so many good things come out of a new acquaintance, whether it's referrals or whether it's personal or whether it's business. You know, practice getting out and meeting people. Be involved
in
people's lives. Right.
Exactly. Yeah, and this is kind of an extension of the same thing. You know, focus on the person that you're with instead of your BlackBerry or your Droid or your iPhone or whatever is going on in your pocket.
Yeah, Yeah, the cell phone is a good thing to just leave completely out of sight when you're doing any type of sales call or presentation. Just get rid of it, mute it, put it in your back pocket, and forget it.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing that turns a lot of people off more than a phone even ringing with you. Relationships with people.
Exactly. And this actually, I think, is probably my biggest factor with reducing anxiety for myself, is to focus on the other person. I would learn about them before I go to the meeting. I would, and everybody is fascinating. I mean, every person on this planet has 100 stories about where they came from, what's important to them, all of those things that, we just don't even know. So, if you get interested in learning about that other person, you forget yourself and get out of your own way, the anxiety just completely disappears.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And that's true on the phone, too. I think you can do that to a lesser extent on the phone. But
quick point on the phone. When you dial a phone, when you pick the phone up and dial the number, smile.
Yeah.
Just a good tip from a great sales guy, a sales coach. Anytime you're picking the phone up to talk to somebody, put a big smile on your face. It changes your whole outlook when you're talking.
Yeah.
Don't smile through the phone, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. And one thing you and I used to do, when we were just getting started working together is, if I needed to make a call as the owner of the company, I'd call you and say, Mark, I'm going to make a call to this person. Here's what I know about them. Will you do this role-playing thing with me, because here's what I think their problem's going to be, and here's, how I think I'm going to handle it. Can you just play that role? And so we would do a role-playing exercise, and then, 5 seconds later, I'd pick up the phone, call the person for real. I've already had the conversation. I will already have that person in my mind, what their objections are going to be, what their situation is, and so forth. And it goes so much more smoothly because I've already mentally prepared for that. And
right.
Yeah. By actually doing it.
Preparation is a whole other topic with this. I mean, we could talk for hours on preparation, but yeah, you've got to be prepared.
Exactly. Right. And becoming a problem solver, positioning yourself as, and some people don't even call themselves salespeople, and I think there's good and bad to that. The bad is that you're in denial of the fact that you're in sales, so, you avoid those tasks. But the other side of it is if you position yourself as a problem solver rather than a salesperson, the other people see you differently and they don't bring that baggage to the table.
Correct. Yeah. There's a fine line in dealing with customers, obviously. People don't like their time wasted. So you've got to have an opening value statement when you first get on the phone or meet somebody, which is something that relays about what your company does and how it's going to solve a problem for their company or make life easier, and that
right.
needs to be talked about right up front. And so you need to develop an opening value statement. That's one of the things that we do in our consulting, is to help people come up with an opening value statement. So that it immediately gets your customer's attention, and it immediately makes them want to listen to you and lets them know that you're not wasting their time.
Exactly.
And once you get them talking a little bit, that's when you can really start building relationships.
Right.
You can't waste people's time. And the higher up the food chain you go, and executives, level C executives especially, you've got to get their permission to build that relationship with them, and that comes through them acknowledging that your opening value statement is of interest to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's something
open
we can
with
really
a question.
Help.
Yeah.
Exactly. They've got to give you permission to start furthering that relationship. But once you get that okay, then you've got to really exercise that discipline with people. So.
Exactly.
On your list, write down the huge, huge thing, opening value statement for your product or service.
Right, exactly. Absolutely. And we've got a lot more to talk about, and we could go into any of these topics and spend a whole hour on them, but we've got a few other things to get through. Networking online, I think this is one we could kind of skip a little bit because we've talked about it in other classes. But if you're going to meet with somebody, you can find out a lot about them online before you do, so you're never making a cold call or a cold walking in on someone cold. Over preparation, there's a lot of details about this that we can talk about and that we'll include in the workbook for this course, just to make sure that you're comfortable and that you're prepared for any contingency. We can spend some time on this one, desperation. It's not cute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, it's really repellent. We've already talked about this a little bit, but you know, people can smell it if you're desperate.
Yeah, exactly. Whose dog is that anyway?
I don't know. He's just a dog that I found online, and he was in the royalty-free photography, so I thought it was cute, and I grabbed it.
Yeah, back to worrying about your own personal cash flow. It's obviously, you know, if you're on full commission or you're having to sell something this week so you can pay your receptionist, it can be tough. But that's when you really got to, you know, put that aside.
Yeah.
And get refocused back on the purpose of your phone call, and the purpose of that phone call is to build a relationship with somebody and solve their problem. And you're right, people sell desperation, and they can sell. You know, desperation is translating itself into a salesperson that is received as being, typical, so to speak?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's be problem solvers.
Exactly, and focusing on the other person instead of on my problems as a salesperson, you know.
Right.
I think that's really the difference between desperation and enthusiasm.
Right.
Enthusiasm is about the other person. Desperation is about yourself. And I like this quote from Zig Ziglar. I thought you'd approve of this one.
Yeah, no, he's got so many good quotes, and that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Don't be desperate, be enthusiastic, you bet.
Right, exactly. So it really boils down to, and I know we've talked about this before, and there's a lot of the big ideas that we've talked about, but now some small specific things about getting yourself to pick up the darn phone. And I think the first thing is, and this is something that I learned in an instrument course when my first zero visibility course, I was with an instructor, and I said, okay, well, this is great. You're teaching me all this stuff, and this is fantastic, but I'm going to forget it all when I'm in zero visibility and I can't see because I'm going to panic. And he says, well, when you start to panic, think to yourself, what would you do if you were fearless? You don't have to be fearless. You just have to ask yourself the question. And in the process of answering that, you figure out, you already know what the right thing to do is. So you already know how many calls you have to make to meet your numbers for this month. You already know all that stuff. It's just a matter of making yourself do it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Just
remember what you'd be doing if you thought every prospecting call, every presentation was going to turn out to be a success.
Right.
Go into all of your sale transactions, presentations, phone calls with an attitude that they are going to become a customer of mine. And that's a fearless mindset.
Exactly. And this one, I'm not sure if it's displaying correctly, but rule number one is, and this is a Mark Twain quote, if you have to eat two frogs, eat the ugliest one first. So if you hate the sales calls, do them first thing in the morning before you have time to think about them too much. And then rule number two is if you have to eat a frog, it doesn't pay to sit around and look at it for very long. And that's another good Mark Twain quote. Don't sit around and think about how much you don't want to do this. You know, there's so many kids that we know. Mark, you've got teenagers, and we had one, too, that would spend so much energy avoiding work that if he had just done it, you know, it would just be so much easier.
Yeah, you've got to attack procrastination. That's the fastest way to get over sales phobia is action.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so that's... Again, and if you've got somebody to really hold you accountable, your action is going to come sooner than later. So
absolutely.
No accountability, we'll just put off action until we can put off action, and you know, forever. Mm-hmm. So make sure somebody's accountable. Accountability in your in that big why in your life is going to get you to pick that phone up.
Exactly. And most people will hire a personal trainer not because they need to know how to do push-ups or how to run laps. It's because they need that, they understand that if somebody is keeping track of whether they're going to the gym and how many laps they're running and how many push-ups they're doing, they will do much better. And that's just a human nature thing. And you can do that with a sales coach in the same way. Making your metrics visible. You know, if you know how many calls lead to an appointment and how many appointments lead to a sale, and you put that on a board in your office, you know, you're going to do 1,000 times better. Mark, is this how you do it, or how do you make this visible to yourself?
Yeah, you know, you've got to know your numbers. If you don't know your numbers because you haven't been doing, you know, the work, you've got to go out there and just start shaking hands and calling people and doing the sales process to learn your averages and your numbers. And then once you've got those averages and numbers, and maybe you have records that you've kept, spreadsheets that you have, about previous calls and the number of sales and the number of no's, et cetera, if you've got that, go back and look at them so that you can develop a process that you can set goals with. And so,
right.
You know, we have a certain endeavor that, you know, in place business that we know if we talk to 100 people, we're going to get 30 to 40 no's. We're going to have 13 large transactions, 7 even larger transactions, 20 average transactions, and on down the pipe. Okay, so...
Yep.
We know some numbers exactly about this industry. And so
mm-hmm.
if you boil that down and say, well, I've got to make 100 presentations to achieve, you know, and accomplish my why, that's not all that bad.
Fact, exactly.
You can flip it around and say, you know, I'm after 30 no's, you know.
Yep.
Let me have to find, I need to find 30 people to say no to me. And in the process
mm-hmm.
of getting no's, dang it, gosh, somebody wants my product. What do you know?
Holy cow.
Remember
yes.
the 80-20 rule is, you know, 20% of the people do most of the selling. Okay, well, I don't really like that phrase that much because, again, you don't have to be a great salesperson. You just gotta go do it.
Yeah.
You know? You just got to pick the phone up. You got to go meet some people. You don't have to be in the top 20% or the top 50%. You know, you just got to be one of the people that go out and give it their best and try. And
yep.
Again, if you can do that, you'll move up the ladder in terms of competency. But you know, you don't have to be in the top 10. Just
exactly.
go do it.
Oh
yeah.
Absolutely. All right,
yeah.
So I know we're just about out of time, but we're going to wrap up, and then we also have a special offer for people who are on the phone. But the main points are just to decide, you know, and you may be in denial but haven't really recognized that about yourself, and if that's the case, you could actually be impeding your own success as a salesperson. Decide which type of salesperson you are. Do you want to really embrace this as a part of your profession, or do you want to get some help? Either way you decide is fine, but you have to make a decision. You have to commit to a decision. Is bad behavior connected with sales in your mind? If so, you need to unhinge those two things that you're going to habitually, you know, exaggerate or something like that because you think that's what salespeople do, and that's not true at all, especially not successful salespeople. Consider hiring a professional. Either to do it for you or to coach you. Develop a great sales presentation that is interactive and has appropriate points for interaction with your prospect. Get a sales coach. Like people. That's a hard one for some of us who have been introverts all our life. Network online and offline. Over-prepare for everything, you know, have a plan B for anything that goes wrong. Technology has a way of of humbling us, find a support team, and make your sales metrics visible. Did we miss anything?
Well, that's plenty.
That's plenty. Absolutely. All right. So Mark is offering actually a sales check ride for $500. This is normally part of a 1550 package that he sells to businesses, and very successfully, I might add. What that includes basically is a debrief on your ideal customer, a walkthrough of the sales presentation, a post-presentation debrief, and a recording of all the calls on a CD. Did you have anything to add to that, or?
Find somebody that you're accountable for that can coach you and help you get to where you need to go. This check ride process that we've developed has been a real good one, and it really helps you. There's one bullet proof in there, and that's helping you develop your value statement. And that takes a lot of time. It's like a miniature business plan. It's an elevator speech business plan is what it is. And it sounds simple, and it sounds sometimes simple, I guess, but it's hugely important. And so that's something else that would be part of that process.
Right. So this is going to be available for 30 days, you know, after this call. And you can call Mark or call me either way, and we'll get you set up with that. And that's a great way to test drive a sales coach if you think that is something you want to add to your arsenal and see how that works. Other services available through Leaper and Associates, we highly recommend all of these. Sales outsourcing, that's what we did for a year. Sales coaching, that's what we're doing now since we've kind of grown into the role. Sales team management and accountability and mystery shopping, all of which are not done enough, I think, in aviation. They're done a lot in other businesses and other industries that we've worked in, and with great success. So those are fantastic. Okay, we've got the Show Your Work Challenge. If you're a registered member of the class, make sure you finish your homework and send it in by the end of the month, and we will send you, actually, Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, which is a book that you should read every time you change the batteries in your smoke detectors, as we had talked about. I think everybody needs a refresher every once in a while on that one. That's probably one of the best books ever written. Next month, we're going to be talking about information packages. Send me some information. It is often part of the sales process, so you want to figure out what should you send and how are you going to make it stand out. When should you send it? How does it fit into the sales process? Under, you know, what conditions do you do that so that you are making the best use of your resources and making the biggest impact? And what can you include that will really make your package stand out?